Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Luke 19 verse 10. Please take your seats. Luke 19. Please maintain an atmosphere of prayer. The fire of God is here already. Luke 19.
For the Son of Man is come.
For the Son of Man is come.
To seek and to save.
The Son of Man, he says, is come first to seek and then to save, he says.
That which was lost.
That which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Today we'll be talking about developing a heart for the lost. Developing a heart for the lost. It would be impossible to have a heart for the lost if I don't know how the heart of Jesus beats for the lost. It would be absolutely impossible to develop a heart for the lost if I did not first understand or comprehend the perspective of Jesus to the lost. How does Jesus see the lost? When Jesus sees a lost, what is going through his mind? When Jesus sees a young man who is wasting his life smoking crack and heroin, what is going through the mind of Jesus? When Jesus sees a young man wasting his destiny, joining cult and drinking and wasting his life away, what is going through the mind of Jesus? When Jesus sees a young lady giving her body out for money, what is going through the mind of Jesus? It will be difficult to have a heart for the lost if I don't first know how the heart of Jesus beats for the lost. Above every other thing that Jesus Christ had to face while he was here on the earth, one thing he was most criticized for or accused of is his company, the kind of people he works with. And so you have a lot of people criticizing him, particularly the religious people. They would criticize him and say, why was he with tax collectors? What was Jesus doing with sinners? They'll say he was with sinners and publicans. They call him the friend of sinners. They call Jesus the friend of sinners. And so the story is always around the fact that he was always in the company of people that religious people were not comfortable with. You have to understand that it was not sinners that killed Jesus. It was church folks that killed Jesus. It was not the prostitute on the street or the robber on the road. It was not that person was a tax collector or a sinner or a publican. It was not people who were known as sinners that killed Jesus. It was religious folks, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They are far, you see, sad, you see. That is why they were against the power of God in their own days. It was not that harlot that killed Jesus. It was not the woman who was possessed with seven demons. It was not the demon possessed that killed Jesus. It was the religious folks in his days. And of every other thing, they had problems with the fact that he was comfortable around sinners. Luke 19 verse 10 that we read says, Jesus is a seeker. He says, the Son of Man is come to seek. He's come. What does NLT say? Verse 10, help me do more. He has come to seek. What does he say? Same scripture. He came to seek
and save those who are lost.
Like him, he came to seek those who are lost. He came looking for them. Jesus is a seeker. You see, he doesn't sit back in his house, fold his hands and fold his legs, hoping that a sinner will stumble on him. Jesus goes out of his way practically looking for someone he can save. Jesus is deliberate with his search for souls. The Bible says he looks around, is seeking, looking for those and can save. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, he said to Peter, I would make you fishers of men. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, fear not, for from this day, he said, follow me, and I would make you fishers. You see, he was going to make Peter a fisher of man, not a Spider-Man. You know Spider-Man? So we are fishermen and we are Spider-Men. Now, even though both of them use nets, the difference between a fisherman and a Spider-Man is that a fisherman goes out looking for something to catch, while a Spider-Man stays back and creates a net, hoping that something will stumble on it. So we stay back in church, putting the lights, putting the AC, hoping that a sinner would come. We put in wonderful programs, hoping that a sinner would come. Jesus doesn't say you are a Spider-Man. He says, I want a fisherman out of your life. He wants you to go out looking for someone who is lost. Go out looking. The lost don't come back if someone doesn't go around looking for them. The most dangerous thing about this is that Jesus is not the only seeker. The devil is also a seeker. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is roaring around looking, seeking for whom he would devour. So you see, Jesus is seeking to save. Satan is seeking to destroy. And so if you have two seekers seeking for fruit, then there's urgency on the life of that fruit. Who's going to get the fruit first? There's an urgency in the life of him who has to preach, because the person who you are preaching to, if the enemy gets to that person first, then you'll have lost it. The gospel is only good news if it gets there early. The gospel is only a good news if it gets there in time or on time. You see, if I have a cure to cancer and I hold it back to myself, and there's someone who died of cancer or died of any kind of condition or disease, and I walk in and I say, yeah, and I was just coming with a drug, with a cure. You see, the knowledge of that cure will bring more sorrow to the bereaved. They would have even rather believed that there was no cure than to know that there was a cure, and it was just that I was delaying, and in delaying they lost their loved one. The gospel is only a good news if it gets there on time. Jesus is a seeker. The devil is also a seeker. In Matthew 28 verse 19, see, today's an introductory sermon. I'm going to teach more of this throughout this month. Matthew 28, it says go. Is that what it said?
Yes.
He said go. He didn't say stay. Someone say go. Tap it and say neighbor. Jesus says to go. So he says go and preach the gospel. Go and teach. Help me with that scripture. Matthew 28 verse 19. Help me do more fast. Go ye therefore. How many nations did he ask you to teach? You see, that's where your visa is right there. That's where your visa is right there. So say I have an instruction to go to all nations. So no embassy can lock you up. So that's where your visa is. So somebody asked you that, what's the scripture you are using to claim this visa? The Lord is saying he wants to send you to Holland, send you to Belgium, whatever country he wants to send you to. He said, what's your scripture? What scripture are you holding on to? He says, I should go to all nations. So he goes to all nations, he says, teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, next verse 20.
Teaching them to observe all things.
Yes, and I'm with you
even to the end of the world.
Yes. If you look at Mark chapter 16, the same thing it says, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15, help me do more. Mark 16.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world.
So you see, the same thing he's saying, he says go. He didn't say stay. Now some of us are staying, hoping that somebody will come to us. Jesus says, no, you go. You have unsaved folks, you go. You have unsaved friends, you go. There's a long lost art of personal evangelism in the church today. People don't preach the gospel anymore. People just hope that somebody will just stumble on the gospel. He says, go. Jesus said, go. Jesus Christ didn't say, stay. He said, go. He said, go ye, help me. What does he say next?
Go ye into all the world and
all
preach the gospel
world
to every creature.
Every creature. Yes, continue.
He that believeth and is baptized,
yes,
shall be saved, but
yes,
he that believeth not shall be damned.
So we see that Jesus puts an instruction on you. It's not on the pastor. He wasn't talking to a pastor. Soul winning is every believer's business. Soul winning is every believer's business. Somebody won your soul. Somebody invited to church today. If this is your first time in church, somebody asked you to come to church today. You should tell someone else to come to Jesus. Everyone should tell their friends to come to Jesus. That's why when I make altar call, I ask the question, is anybody come here for the first time? He says, yes. You say, come and stand beside your friend when they give their life to Christ. That's the most important decision they can ever make in their life. is to give their life to Christ. It says go. So let's backtrack a bit. Luke chapter 19 verse 1. Where we're reading. Luke 19 verse 1. That's where we started from. We started from verse 10. So let's backtrack. Let's understand what happened before Jesus says the Son of Man has come to save, seek and save the lost. Help me. What does it say?
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho.
Jesus. So you're gonna, me and you're going to work together more this morning because of my time. Luke 19 verse 1. It says, and Jesus entered, and somebody said, pass through. So you see, I always emphasize this point that Jesus is always passing through. Jesus is always passing through. See, Jesus doesn't stay in a place. He's always passing through. And that's why every encounter with God you have is such that is momentary. You have to make the most of that encounter. The lifetime of an opportunity must be maximized within the lifetime of that opportunity. If you miss out on an opportunity, you may not have it anymore. So it says Jesus Christ is passing through. Every season of your life, you must maximize it. This season of your life that you are single, you must maximize it. You must maximize it. There's a season of your life that you are a student, you must maximize it. This season of your life that you are not responsible for your bills, you must maximize it. If you are so much in a hurry to become an adult and you pack your load, things cost die. Things do what? Things cost die. You will soon find out that what the prodigal son saw, it's not like he missed his father, but Billy is one killer. He said, things are better in my father's house. There's a season of your life. You see, you have to maximize the seasons of your life. I've preached this before. Your single season, even your marriage phase, when you just got married, there's a season of your life before your kids start coming. It's a season of bonding. Some of us missed out on that season. We had children too early. And so we started our marriage already thinking about kids. And so my wife was already in the mood with the mother. We didn't have that intimacy that would have helped us bond. You know, a lot of families have to now struggle with that because children are intruders. They bump into your life. They take away your intimacy if you're not careful. And so everything you are discussing with your spouse will be about your kids. But you must maximize that season of your life. When your kids are growing, you will not have them forever. You see, between age 0 and age 10, your child needs a father. By the time they start getting to 10, between 10 and 12, 13, 14, 15, they need a friend. You want to understand when that switch comes between when you have to be a father and when you have to be a friend. By the time they start getting to 20, 21, they need a mentor. You see, you cannot be a father to your child when he needs a mentor. And so a lot of parents missed out, and that is why they lost their children forever. And some of you are here, your parents have lost you. You know that they don't bond them well to call you. You know, you're here. Why did they lose you? You see, at that time, that season when you needed a friend, they were imposing. They were not hearing you out. They were not listening to your voice. And they were just there, raking instruction. And out of frustration, you just said, maybe one day I'll leave this house. And some of you had to sneak to church this morning because your parents must not know you are in SLC. Because you must go to my church. We have been in this church. My father was running. So you are there. You are in your church, but you are live streaming SLC. So if you miss out on a season, the danger of missing out on a season of your life, that if you miss out on this season, it affects the next season. Seasons affect seasons. If you mess up a season, it would have been best if that was all that you get to mess up. But because if you mess up this season, it gets to mess up the next season. If you play around on the day or in the season of sowing, you will beg in the day of harvest. So your season of sowing affects the season of harvest. We are where we are today because of what we did yesterday or what we used yesterday. We will be where we will be tomorrow because of how we do today. Today affects tomorrow. Today matters. If you take care of every day, the year will take care of themselves. Every day matters. And so we are where we are today because of how we used yesterday. We are enjoying what we are enjoying today because of the prayers we prayed yesterday. I used to say, I walk into my prayers. If I don't pray today, I'll have nothing to walk into tomorrow. Maximize your season. The Bible says Jesus was walking through Jericho. Give me verse 2. What does it say next? Verse 2.
And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Which was the chief among publicans.
He was a chief among publicans.
And he was rich.
And he was very rich. Verse 3.
And he sought to see
Jesus. So you see, this man sought to see Jesus. The Bible says he was a chief. He was a chief among publicans and was very rich. And though he was rich, he couldn't reach Jesus. You see that? Because riches don't make you reach Jesus. He was a chief. I don't know if you understand what it means to be a custom officer. My father was a custom officer, was superintendent of customs. And you see, in our house, when we were young, we never lacked anything. We never lacked anything. I never knew what it means to buy kerosene. I never knew what it means to buy palm oil. We had gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of all the stuff. I mean, a bag of rice and bag. You see, because the custom officer has his own portion of every contraband goods. Now, if you have been a custom officer, I would have loved to describe what it means to be a custom officer today. Now, I do drive my bay, but not this morning. Zacchaeus was short and tough. You know, short people have very short temper. Their chest is not far from their stomach. Everything just between like 2-3 centimeters. So they don't have where to hold issues. That was how Zacchaeus was. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so he was very rich. Zacchaeus was extremely rich. He was rich because of everything he had taken from people. Taking people's back. I tell you, my father, we used to have gallons of fuel. We used to have a drum of where they put fuel. I mean, I never knew anything. I never knew people used to buy anything. Plastic, all those things imported. There's a just football, anything. They pack our own. So as the one is busting, we are taking another one. Because he was very rich. But like I said, even though he was rich, he couldn't reach Jesus. God wants you rich, but doesn't want you rich at his own expense. God wants you wealthy, but doesn't want you wealthy at his expense. In Luke chapter 12, verse 30, the Bible says, fear not, little folk. It is your father's good plans or his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's pleasure. It's God's plan. It's God's intention that you'll be very wealthy. God wants you wealthy, but God doesn't want you wealthy at the expense of his presence. The problem with the prodigal son is not that he got wealthy. The problem of the prodigal son is that he walked away from the father. The Bible says he walked to a far distance, a distant country. He took all the father gave to him and went to a distant country. And I usually will tell you that a distant country is not a far place. A distant country is anywhere Jesus is not. Anywhere you are that Jesus is not with you, you are a far country. It could be by the corner of your room. You could be sitting in the front pew of your church. Anywhere you are that you are not in beautiful, wonderful relationship with Jesus, you are in a very far country. It may be the backyard of your church. You are in a very far country. A far country is not a location, it's a position. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says God was looking for him. He says, where are you? Because he was lost even in the Garden of Eden. So God doesn't have a problem with you being rich or being wealthy or having answers to your prayers. The challenge is that when your answers take you from him that answered you, you pray to God for a partner. You pray to God for a boo. Now he gave you a boo. And your boo has taken you from God. The relationship now that you are in has taken you far from your first lover. You see that? You prayed for a job and God gave you a job. Now that job is the reason why you can't be in church. You prayed for a visa and God granted you a visa. And now that visa, you have traveled abroad. Now you are in the abroad. Your pastor cannot see you. And so you begin to misbehave. And you say, hey, you know, these are broad. Things are different. Things are different here. Yeah, you know, people don't really, church is not church. They don't go to church like that. People don't pray, jim, all those prayers. We used to pray in Nigeria, you know. So you allow what God gave you take you away from God. You prayed for everything. You prayed for a wife. You prayed for a husband. And you allow what God gave you take you away. Zacchaeus was rich, yet he couldn't reach Jesus. Give me verse 3 again. What does it say?
See Jesus.
The Bible says he sought. He was seeking to see Jesus. And what happened?
Who he was and could not for the press.
He could not see Jesus for the press.
Because he was of little stature.
The Bible says he was of little stature. Give me NLT. You know, that kind of decorated it. Little stature. What does NLT say?
He tried to get a look at Jesus, but yes, he was too short.
He
to
was
see
too short
over the crowd.
He was too what?
Short.
I know you can ask me this morning, what caught Zacchaeus short? The Bible says, for all I've seen, I'm falling short. All I've seen, I'm falling short. All I've seen and fallen short. Internal weaknesses, genetical complications, beyond his power. He was not the one that made himself short. By nature, Zacchaeus had fallen short. You are not a sinner because of the sin you sing. You are a sinner by nature. If you have not known Jesus, you are a sinner. Not because you committed a sin. You are a sinner by nature. When I was working in my law firm, and I was a very, you know, naughty guy when I was young. We used to talk about the things we did when we were young. When I was in secondary school, I just wanted to be a useless boy. Anything that they say proper children are doing, I will just do the opposite. I just want to be a nonsense boy. I just want my life to be destroyed. So when I see children that do that, I just want to say, you want to be a hooligan. I would go and die in my trouser. I never offense. You know what I call offense? Those of you who went to public school, you know, you go to private, you understand. When you go to public school, they have a specified uniform you have to wear. I'll make sure my own is not the normal one. And I was jumping fence like anything. The Bible says, with God, I'm able to skate through any wall. I'm telling you, I understand that scripture at that time. I was very short. SMD was my nickname. Short man, devil. I had fallen short. That's how my life was. Very useless boy. So when I gave my life to Christ and I'm recounting all the things I did when I was young, you know, we used to say in my office in those days, there was a particular lady in my office. She never had done anything wrong in her life. Everybody said, okay, you just want to see. I said, what have you done? She said, no, she did not do anything. I said, you did not do anything? You did not steal meat from the pot? I've never stole meat from your mommy's pot. Oh, ma. See my fellows. Somebody lays out 2 hands. Who stole the meat from the cooking pot? Number one stole the meat from the... Is it you? Me? You didn't steal meat from your mommy's pot? He said, no. I said, you didn't commit abortion? He said, no. So I said, no, it's not possible. It's not possible that you had not lived or done anything wrong. She said, oh, yeah, she remembers one thing she did. I said, what is that? She said, one day her mommy gave her food and she asked for more. I said, ma, oh, ma, that's what you did wrong. That's where we live. We are there always. We are always asking for more. But beware of those kind of people. They are the ones with the huge skeletons in their cupboard. It's the person that married them that will see Shaggy. So I say, Jesus is not your savior. He's just your personal friend. He didn't save you from anything. But that's not a lie. The truth is that whether you have committed sin or not, we are by nature sinners. Zacchaeus had fallen short. What was the second reason why he couldn't see Jesus? The Bible says the press. There was a crowd. Crowd following Jesus can block other people from seeing Jesus. It is a sad thing that people that are following Jesus, that should be revealing Jesus, are the ones blocking Jesus. It's a sad reality that people out there want to see Jesus, but there are people who claim to be followers of Jesus, and they are the ones. They are the reasons why people who want to see Jesus cannot see Jesus. I know you don't like our hairstyle, but let us see Jesus. I know you don't like the size of our skirt, but let us see Jesus. I know you don't like the fact that he's smoking crack, but can you let him see Jesus? I know you don't like the fact that she's selling her body off on the street, but let us see Jesus.
I know you don't like the fact that she has all the rings and all the piercings on her body, but let her see Jesus. Tell them, say, neighbor, get out of the way. I want to see Jesus. A crowd following Jesus shut down Zacchaeus. He couldn't see Jesus. Religious people hold back people from seeing Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures, Acts chapter 15, verse 19, says, let us not make it difficult for those who are turning to God. Let's not make it difficult. Don't make serving Jesus difficult. Don't make coming to Jesus difficult. I know you came from some kind of church, and in your church, they don't do that kind of thing. But can you let us see Jesus? We didn't come for your church. We came for Jesus. We know you have all those doctrines. We like your church. We love. But we didn't come here for that. We came to see Jesus. Let us see Jesus. You are blocking the way. Let me see Jesus. So a crowd there blocked Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 2. Help me. Do more. John chapter 4, verse 2. The story of the Samaritan woman.
John 4, 2.
Yeah, what does it say?
Though Jesus himself baptized not,
yes,
but his disciples,
yeah,
he left Judea and departed again into Galilee,
yes,
and he must needs go through Samaria.
So you see again that Jesus was going to go through Samaria. You see, Jesus never stays, he always goes through. So he goes through Jerusalem. What happened next? Help me. Verse
then
5.
Cometh he to a city of Samaria, which,
yes,
is called Sychar, near,
yes,
to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
Yep.
Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat,
yes,
thus on the well.
So Jesus sat on the well.
And it was about the sixth hour.
Because he was weary. Jesus was tired. And the Bible says, Jesus, the well of God, sitting on the well of Jacob. You see, I'm going to preach a sermon on that one day. The well of God on the well of Jacob. The Bible says, and it was about evening and a half. Continue, what does it say next?
Then there cometh a woman of Samaria
woman
to draw water.
Yes.
Jesus said unto her,
Give me
to drink.
So Jesus, the living water, sitting on the well of Jacob, the well of God, the source of life, sits on the well of Jacob and sees a woman who he knew. You see, Jesus knows that woman. Jesus knows that woman, know her. You see, God knows you, he know you. It's difficult to find a friend that knows you and still is for you. Jesus knows you when no one is watching, and yet he is for you. He says, who shall be against us when God is for us? God is not for you because you are worth being for. God is for you because he chose to. And so he knows what you do, and yet he is for you. And so he saw the woman coming, and he knows the woman. He said, this woman is coming. Ah, I know her. Why did you know? His very hands, these hands framed that woman. It was the one that created that woman. He knew her. And as he saw her coming, she said, give me to drink. How does the Almighty God, the King of the universe, the maker of all things, how does a king ask from a woman who he knew to give him a drink? Nobody would have believed that God, Almighty God, would speak to a sinner and beg for something. Says, give me the drink. What does he say? Help me do more.
For his disciples were gone away into the city.
You see, that's the issue. That was why he could do that. The disciples had gone. Help me. What does he say next?
Unto the city to buy meat.
So you understand where my problem with disciples are. I always do this. 12 full-bodied men. 12 of them let their Savior alone to buy bread. 12 men. None of them had the common sense enough to say, you wait. They left their master alone in Samaria, that they know would have been an enemy city, and they don't talk to Jews there. And they went. You see, this food. Literally, I don't want to preach about food today. I said, they are gone to buy bread. Help me. What to say next?
Then said the woman of Samaria unto him,
yes,
how is it that thou,
yes,
being a Jew,
yes,
asketh drink of me,
yes,
which am a woman of Samaria?
Yes.
For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said unto her,
yeah,
if thou knewest the gift of God,
yeah,
and who it is that said to thee,
would ask from him,
give me to drink,
and I would give you. So you see, I would have loved to go through this story, but honestly, my time has come. I'm telling you. Jesus was asking a woman that everybody knew in the city to have more than one husband. You see, that was just a very casual way of calling Awolosho, is to say that, you know, if I say you have seven husbands, it's still kind of acceptable than saying you are sleeping around. You see, so yeah, it's just an assumption that you are having seven husbands instead of having casual sex around. You get my point, with seven men. And so when he asked her, go and call me your husband, she said, I don't have anyone. He said, that's true, you don't have a husband, but you have five, so you don't have a husband, you only have seven. You see, you get the point? Do you get that point?
Yes.
You don't have a husband, you have five. But right in that woman was a worshiper. Because when the conversation got deeper, you see him ask, you see her talking about worshiping on this mountain, worshiping on that mountain, and if it was right, you'd be wondering that in behind every gangster guy was a desire to worship God. Behind any woman who's there sleeping around is a desire for God. You see, Jesus can see beyond the fabrics of your carnality. He can see right into the depths of your spirit, and he can pull out that worshiper that is being covered by flesh. Who would have believed that that woman had anything to know about worship? So she said, I know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all these things. So guys, I that speaketh with thee, I am the Messiah. In the entire of all the gospel, that was the only woman and that was the only person that Jesus openly told that he was the Messiah. So that woman came, brought out the entire nation. Why? Because Jesus could see beyond. Let's go back to our friend Zacchaeus. What did he say? Verse 3. Are we in verse 3? Luke 19. Help me do more.
And he ran before,
yeah,
and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him.
Yeah, so that story means that he knew he couldn't see Jesus, so he ran ahead before the crowd and climbed a tree to see Jesus. He continued what to say next.
For he was to pass that way.
Yeah.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him.
Yes.
And said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today.
So Jesus was walking. And when Jesus came to that place, the Bible says he came to that place because Jesus is going to come to your place. You have to understand that Jesus would come to where you are. He knows where you are. Please follow me closely. He knew where Moses was at the backside of the desert. He came to meet him there. This Samaritan woman was never going to talk to Jesus. You know how women can be. See, we'll just see one young guy, just sit and wait. Give me to drink. So Jesus Christ broke the gap. He always will initiate a conversation. Jesus will talk to you first. Even when you don't want to talk to him, Jesus will talk to you first. God came to look for Adam first. He said, Adam, where are you? God always breaks, he always initiates the relationship. So we see here again that Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was. Jesus knows where you are. Zacchaeus was hiding on a tree. Zacchaeus was a chief. Do you know the name of chief? Who would have believed that a chief can climb tree? Zacchaeus was not there to shout in, hey, I'm here. He just wanted to hide to see Jesus. And Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was and looked up. He knows where Zacchaeus was. You see, Jesus Christ is not looking up as he's going everywhere, looking up like this. That's not how Jesus Christ used to walk, like this. No. And when he came to that sycamore tree and he looked up, maybe Peter would have thought that, maybe he wanted to look for a fig like he saw. He was looking for a fig on a fig tree. And Peter would have said, Master, this is a sycamore tree. This is not a fig tree. But Jesus knows what he's looking for. He knows in that place is a sinner who was looking to see him. So he did the next shocking thing. He called his name. Shege. Called his name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would never have believed that Jesus knew him. In the midst of a crowd, he singled him out. He knows your name. You see, he doesn't only just know where you are. He's not just sure about what you're doing. He knows your name. And he calls Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. For today, he says, today I am going to sleep in your house. Hey, Zacchaeus, my Jesus. He ran down shaking. Jesus, all I wanted to do was just to see Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't have any plan to stay in Jericho that night. Jesus was just passing through. But when he sees an hungry man, you see, Jesus can never say no to an hungry heart. when he saw Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, I am going to stay in your house tonight. I am thinking now like Zacchaeus. Kai, I hope that girl has removed her pants from my dining table. Hey, Jesus is coming to my house. I didn't prepare that Jesus would come to my house today. I have not even removed that wristlet. I used to smoke Indian hemp yesterday night from the dining stool. Hey, Jesus is coming. Am I touching somebody this morning? Jesus is coming to your house. I know you didn't prepare for it. I know you were not even bothered. You're not thinking. You just wanted to see Jesus. But today, now, he said, I must. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? I must, he says. It's not I may or I should. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I must stay in your house tonight. Zacchaeus was not prepared for it. Some of us, when we come to church, our houses should not be seen because it's a colossal mess. As you are rushing to pick your Sunday clothes, the cupboard dish, your shoes out there, Now you have come to church and Jesus says he's following you home. Hey, Jesus, why did you not tell me? Why did you not give me notice? Man, I cannot come now. And you cannot call them, hey, help me clear that. Help me clear that. No, Jesus wants to come into your house even though it's messy. He loves you with your mess. Yeah, Jesus doesn't want you thinking about how dirty you are. He loves you with your dirt. He's ready to come into your house unprepared, yes. Unready, yes. Dirty, yes. Filthy, yes. Unclean, yes. Jesus wants to come just like the way you are. So Zacchaeus, I must come today. Today, he says, not tomorrow. He says, Pastor, please, give me to tomorrow. That MAGA wants to pay today. So sorry. Jesus is coming to your house today. Say, Kai, today is not a good day. I have plans. Can you allow me to have you in my house tomorrow? Jesus says, no. I'm coming today. I'm coming today. I'm coming today. I'm coming today. Ah, Pastor, I'm not ready. Hey. Ah. My entire school fees is tied to this thing. I must go. Jesus says, no. I'm coming. Somebody already shouted, hey. He's coming today. Jesus wants to come today. He wants to come today. I know you feel unready. I know you feel a lot of things not sorted out yet. Like I said earlier, maybe the wristlet you used yesterday night is still on the table. And you used it just yesterday night. You did not know that Jesus was coming today. Maybe that girl is still in your house. Maybe you just rushed to church this morning, hoping that you go for another round before she goes back home. But Jesus is following you home. Today, he says. Today. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Say, Jesus should not see this kind of thing. Who told you he has not seen it before? He saw you before he saw you. He saw you while you were in your mother's womb. Hey, Jesus. And I'm not living. The person I'm not married to the person I'm living with. Oh, I'm not married to the person I'm living with. Hey, shame. There is nothing that you have that Jesus does not already know. There's nothing you're doing in the secret place of your life that Jesus is not openly aware of. You see, when you confess your sins to God, it's not when he got aware. It was when you got free from it. He's been always aware of the kind of life you were living. And he loved you even though he still loved you. He saw you. He knew when you were dancing that you are an hypocrite. He knew that your life outside church is different from the life in your church. But now he has chosen to follow you to your life outside church. He has chosen to go home with you. Jesus was just passing through Jericho and Jesus was ready to dismiss a crowd because he has found one person in whose house he was going to sleep that night. And he has chosen your house to sleep. Jesus is coming home with you. Maybe they just told you to come to SLC this morning. You just came to see SLC. Hey, but you have entered it. Because the God of SLC now is going you home. Ha! Pastor, my house is dusty. Jesus will clean it for you. That's how he is, Bobby. Abraham was a liar. Yet Jesus called him his friend.
That's how he is.
It is
what it is.
David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And God said, David is a man after my own heart. Moses was a murderer. And God says, you are a deliverer, not a murderer. Hey, lot of them. Many of them. Jacob was a supplanter. And God says, you're my covenant friend. From you, I'll bring out patriarchs. Do you know that none of those guys, none of them, absolutely none of them have a record in the New Testament? Go check Hebrews chapter 11. They didn't say anything about all those guys. Did Abraham tell lies? Did Abraham tell lies? He told lies. Did Abraham commit adultery? Answer me now. Abraham committed adultery. But there was no record of his adultery in the New Testament. Because we don't keep records of wrongdoing in the New Testament. He says, if the Lord will bear records, who will stand? Who will stand? Who will stand? You guys, who will stand? Even you too, who will stand? You cannot stand. If God should say, I want to begin to count iniquities. There's nothing you are doing that God does not know. Yet he says, I'm going to go home with you. That woman was there, an adulterer. Everybody called her an adulterer. Maybe that's why she had to come to the well all alone, all by herself. But Jesus Christ had an intimate discussion, an intimate conversation with an adulterer. They brought a woman to him one day. That woman was caught in the act of adultery. They caught her in the very act. She was committing adultery with herself. All by herself. Committing adultery with herself. And they caught her in the act. Very masculinist community. Brought only the woman to Jesus. Say, we caught her in the very act of adultery. Where is the man she was committing adultery with? Unknown. Unknown gourmet. Unknown men. And everybody stood there. We are going to stone this woman to death. And Jesus says, anyone that is without sin, let it be the one to cast the first stone. The Bible says, one by one from the eldest, because the eldest had more sins. Threw the stone and left. And Jesus looked at her. Said, where are your accusers? He said, they are all gone. He said, neither do I condemn you. So he gave her the gift of no condemnation before giving her the instruction to go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and sin no more and I will not condemn you. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He knew her as an adulterer and yet was going to go home with her. Jesus wants to go home with you this morning. Your home may be in a mess. Maybe your porn videos are still on. But Jesus wants to go home with you. Say, you have taken light. The disc is inside the video. My God. How do I remove this DVD now? And Jesus wants to go home with me. Hey! Frustration. Jesus, God forbid. God, I beg. But yeah, Jesus wants to go home with you. Pastor, Jesus wants to go home with you. So when people started criticizing Jesus, why would you go home with this person? Why would you go home with him? It's not proper. Give me verse 11 of Luke chapter 19.
And as they heard these things,
yes,
he added and spake a parable.
Yes.
Because he was nigh to Jerusalem.
No, let's read verse 9. We read verse 10 earlier. Verse 9.
And Jesus said unto him,
yes,
this day is salvation come to this
house.
This
day is salvation coming to your house.
For as much as he also is
you
a son of
also
Abraham.
Are a son of Abraham. God said, Zacchaeus also is a son of Abraham. That's powerful. So why are you saving him? Say, he also is a son. I know he smokes crack, but he also is a son of Abraham. I know he takes drugs. I know he's a kidnapper, but he also is a son. You see, God does not curse his lost sheep, goats. He curses his lost sheep, lost sheep. He curses his lost son. He doesn't call them bastards. You see, the prodigal son is a son. You see that? The prodigal son never stopped being a son. I preached a sermon before that his prodigalment did not unson him. A son is always a son. And God has many sons. He has obedient sons. He has disobedient sons. He has wayward sons. He has ruthless sons. He has terrible sons. But a son is a son. And so the prodigal son never stopped being a son. The fact that he went out of his father's house did not change his DNA. He's still a child. God said through Jesus, he says, this also is a son of Abraham. In John chapter 10, Jesus Christ says, there are many of my sheep that are outside the fold, and I must bring them in because they are sheep outside. The fact that they are outside the fold or out there, there might be somebody who's somewhere right now smoking his life like a chimney,
and going to hell, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care about him. That person is also a son of Abraham. Who's going to go for that person? You. You are the one. Every friend, till all your friends know Jesus, they are also the son of Abraham. The person that preached Jesus to me saw me also a son of Abraham. I gave my life when I was in secondary school. Useless boy. My father was an herbalist. I've said that story before, and I was already stealing money from the shrine. They had gone to that level. Stealing money from the shrine. My father was so afraid. And I take him to Benin Republic to meet the chief priest of that idol. He said, this boy's been stealing money. They say, ah! I hear it. His life is going to be destroyed. My father took me to Ogun State. Took me. What did I not do? I did not stop. I kept stealing. I kept stealing idol from that idol. Because there was always money there. People were bringing money. I said, what? What are you tempting me for? The day I gave my life to Christ, as terrible as I was born, behind this gangster guy, I used to have a pen knife as far as secondary school. I had charms and knife. Secondary school. When Jesus was going to save me, you know what Jesus used to save me? Cartoon. See me. He owe me. Cartoon. It was a cartoon. My father had mistakenly bought a cartoon Bible. And brought it. Maybe he thought it was just cartoon. He just saw it on the express, on traffic, and bought it and brought it home. But it was Bible Jesus. Cartoon Jesus. So as I was reading it, curious mind, I got to the point where it was carrying a cross. It's all pictures. All pictures, just drawings. I had a voice. I did this for you. Ah, who is that? I did this for you. I said, so what do I do? He said, give your life to me now, here. I said, what do I do? He said, kneel down now, here. I knelt down in front of that cartoon Bible. I said, Jesus, I don't know how to do this. But if you died to set me free, take my life back. Take it. I give it to you. I said, so what do I do next? He said, go to that church and go and give your life to Christ there publicly. So I went there next Sunday. He said, who are you? I want to give my life to Christ. I rushed out. I wanted to give my life to Christ. And that's how that wayward boy, stupid boy, foolish boy, became a born again Christian. Even my principal found out. Because I was failing like devil. Failing everywhere. F9. I would not even write all my passwords. I have one to. I was adjusting my report sheet. And changing my. I was changing my report sheet. So I would write only 3 papers. So I can have opportunity to fill in. That's how terrible I was. Second SS1. When I met Jesus. You know I repeated SS1. I told you guys I repeated SS1. When I met Jesus. My first time as a repeater, I cleared my entire paper. I was the best in you. I was a repeater. My class were over 250 in one class. It's a government school. My principal had to say, no, repeaters don't pass like this. Repeaters will struggle all through their days in school. Because he said, for you to have passed, I said, it's Jesus. Jesus changed my mind and changed my brain. I wrote my GC in SS2, cleared my paper in SS2. I already cleared my paper. I was just waiting for my friend to do IEP. To go. I entered faculty of law seamlessly above my old university. Because of what? I'd met Jesus. Every terrible habit, my friends could not believe it. You know when Zacchaeus was following Jesus and said, everything I've stolen, I promise I'll return it. He said, did Jesus preach to him? Did Jesus say anything to him? When he said, if I've stolen from anybody, I'll return it 4 times. Because when you meet with Jesus, something happens to you. He doesn't have to say a word. A real encounter will change your life. That's how I changed. Started preaching Jesus. My friends didn't believe it. They said, it's not possible now. We'll look back. Oh, possible. And they'll look back and born again. Whoa, born again. Somebody will slap me. Wah! To test it. Because usually I will react. I can shoot you with nail. Slapped me. And I laughed. And I walked away. They say it's a lie. They went to, oh my God, look back and let it go, mash anything. They did not believe it. I had met with Jesus. I now began to preach on my streets. Say, Omo Babalawo, Omati Domo Jesu. I faced all those idols and finished them one by one. One after, they even want to sell one. One by one.
one by one.
Ha!
Jesus came to where I was. Like Zacchaeus climbing on a tree. You know, Zacchaeus' plan was just to climb on a tree, see Jesus, and after everybody has passed, he will now quietly come down because nobody must see a chief on the tree. But that day, Jesus followed him. Can I announce to you that today is the day Jesus wants to follow you? Today. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, right where you are. You have heard the story of Zacchaeus. God has a burden for the lost. Where you are, he knows where you are. There is nothing you are doing that Jesus Christ has not seen before. There's nothing you are doing or what you even plan to go and do. You have planned that you are going to go back home to go and continue it. But unfortunately for that thing, Jesus has decided today that he will follow you home. He says, tonight I must live in your house. Tonight. You may feel unready. You may feel unprepared. You may feel that this is not the right moment because there's something else you had plans to do. But Jesus has decided today to follow you all. He knows where you are. He knows you by name. He's going to call you. Shade is going to call you. Being Pay is going to call you. Rose, Grace is going to call you by name. James, John is calling you right now. And he wants to enter into your heart. If you are seated in this church this morning, and you want to say, Pastor, I want to meet with Jesus. I'm tired of the way I live life. I'm tired of standing all by myself, all by my all alone. Pastor, help me know Jesus. Help me meet Jesus. Oh, I've walked away from him. Maybe you used to know him before. Maybe you used to serve him before. But maybe you have walked away because something happened. Maybe you lost a loved one. You felt disappointed. Somebody did something to you. You lost something critical in your life. And because of that, you have lost trust and confidence in God. And now you have walked away from him. Maybe your case today is like that. But somebody has forced you to come to church this morning. And you have climbed this sycamore tree to see Jesus. But Jesus has looked up to you and is calling you by name. Grace, tonight I must go home with you. He's calling you by name. Lucky, tonight I must go home with you. He's calling you by name. Shame, tonight I must go home with you. Jesus is calling you by name. He's calling you by your name. By your name, he must go home with you. If you are that kind of person this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, without anybody looking around, I want you to slip up your right hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. Lift it up. I want to see it clearly. Up, 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 up. Let Jesus see you. Let Jesus see you. Please, let Jesus see you. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Lift up your hands. You want to say, Pastor, it's me. It's me. It's me. I'm the one that wants to see Jesus. I'm the one that Jesus must go home with tonight. I'm the one that must go. I know that things are not, they are not perfect yet, but tonight he has chosen to go. I need more people to lift up their hands. If you're here, don't go back home unsaved. Don't go back home to the act. Jesus is willing to go home with you. Right where you are, all eyes closed. I want you to stand up gently and come here to meet me. Come here to meet me, right where you are.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.